We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. God, it's your glory. Whatever we've learned, whatever we understand, whatever you have to teach us, it's to your glory. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We are about you and your mercy. Thank you, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying now through these scriptures. Give us a right heart so that we can hear your voice. Amen. Amen. I found a map that showed you where these places were for this ruler's wife traveled. A K tablet from Girsu, and on that map I just gave you, you can find it, Girsu in southern Mesopotamia. See Girsu? That's where she was. That's where they found this tablet. And she traveled from Lagish to Nina, which are the next two cities to the south. You see that? Lagish to Nina? That's a distance of maybe 7 miles at the most. I'd say it's 7 miles. And look at all the animals she sacrificed in that distance. 9 goats, 8 sheep, 3 lambs, 13 different gods and 6 different temples, 1 chapel and a libation spot, and then just an extra precaution, 1 kid. That's just a matter of, that's just 7 miles. They would do that out of pride and superstition. Not everybody could afford that much travel insurance. But that's not, she didn't travel far. She had significantly fewer animals when she arrived than when she began. Just 7 miles. What, Earl?
That would give more meaning to Nimrod, my son.
Yes, it would. He killed his animals along the way. Oh, yeah, as far as he traveled. He may have thought that he was, you know, some people in ancient world got the opinion after a while that they were divine. Nimrod and his travels, who knows how puffed up he became. He was a mighty man. All right, now let's start reading. We begin in 26, Genesis 26. Carol, where did Abraham go when there was a famine in Canaan? That's all right. I can wait for you to write something on your tablet. If your mind goes blank, I got plenty of patience. Say it again. Where did Abraham go when there was a famine in Canaan's land? See there, your mind wasn't blank at all. Egypt. Abraham went to Egypt when there was a famine in Canaan. Chapter 26, there was another famine in the land, which means the rains in the winter season didn't come, or insufficient rain. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And he must have had the notion that he was going to do what Abraham did and go down to Egypt. Because the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. That's there in Gerar. And notice when God shows up, his people need him to. Isaac needed some help here. Stay in this land. I will be with you and will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and now it belongs to you. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, I told you, there's no such thing as an unconditional promise with God. No such thing as unconditional love with God. I'm going to do this because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And that's when his faith got a little weak and Abimelech took Rebekah. But God played the part of the near kinsman and rescued Rebekah and restored her to her husband. Isaac had problems with the Philistines taking wells away from him that Abraham and he had dug. There's one in verse 18. Isaac digged wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, and the Philistines had stopped them up. They were envious. He redug them. Verse 20. Verse 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water, and the herdsmen of Gerar strove with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he moved on. Verse 21, he digged another well, and they wanted that one too. And he removed from thence and digged another well. Boy, he wasn't a fighting kind of person, was he? He would have stood up for his water. Water was important. And he went up from Rehoboth to Beersheba in verse 23. And the Lord appeared to him again. I mean, he's having a hard time here. The Lord shows up for him. I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. I am with you. And I will bless you. Multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well, as at Beersheba. They had a little ceremony there between Isaac and Philistines so that they'd have some peace. In verse 34, Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, a couple of Canaanite women. Their lifestyles about drove Rebekah and Isaac out of their heads. They were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. We don't know what direction their uncleanness was, but godly people found them hard to take. Chapter 27, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his oldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here I am. He said, behold now, I am old. I don't know the day of my death. In other words, I may die any day now. Actually, he died over 20 years later. But he was feeling bad. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. In other words, it's time to pass on the blessing of Abraham to you, Esau. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau her son, and she has a little bit of Laban in her. She's going to help God out. She knows that God said long ago that the elder shall serve the younger, and Isaac's about to make a terrible mistake and give the blessing to the elder instead of the younger. So she's going to rescue the Lord. The Lord's in trouble because Isaac plans to die. That's how the carnal mind thinks. Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. She'd been trained in Laban's house to deceive, to get what she wanted, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father might feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, which I am. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. See, she was training him to lie and deceive, as she had been trained. God hates this. God hates this, and he's not going to have it among the people that carry the blessing of Abraham. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, so he would have the clothes of Esau, the smell of the field. She put the skins of the kids of the goats that they had killed upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, so he'd feel hairy, just in case. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came, no doubt a little nervous here, he came unto his father and said, My father? And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, You come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father and stuck out his chin where the goat skin was. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of the raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now God goes along with this. These aren't just empty words. Because after he finishes passing this blessing on, he knows something's happened that he cannot reverse. But God's still not at a loss. Whoever has this blessing is going to be purged. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from the hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, poor old blind man, or could hardly see, said, Who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Whoever was here got that blessing that I got from my father. Something happened in the spirit that he felt. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, and Esau said, Is not he rightly named Jacob, or supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. See how badly I've been treated. He sold his birthright for a pot of soup. Jacob knew a bargain when he saw one. Don't blame somebody else for your own foolishness. If you sell your birthright for a pot of soup, don't blame the cook. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Well, that's true. He took away the blessing, but he couldn't have taken it away without God giving it. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I now do unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. This does not refer to Esau the man and Jacob the man. Esau the man never served Jacob. But the people that came from Esau, who were who? Who were the descendants of Esau? The Edomites. They served Israel until sometime in the book of Kings, and there they broke off Israel's yoke off their neck. That's for the future. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. That's what he thought too. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. He didn't say it just in his heart though. He said it around his tent because the servants heard it. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to safety, to Laban, my brother, to Haran. He'll take care of you. And tarry with him a few days. Give or take 20 years. Until thy brother's fury turn away. And then look what she says. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which you have done to him. That's Laban. Then I'll send and fetch you from thence. After he gets over this, you know what a hothead he is. You can't blame him the way you treat him, Jacob. I'll send for you as soon as he gets over it, and things will be okay. If your father dies and he's going to kill you, just go to Laban's house for a few days, and I'll send for you. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, Esau's two wives, Hittites. If Jacob taketh take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? Boy, she was miserable. But Isaac knew that God had been in the passing of that blessing, so he went along with the program. Chapter 28, what?
You know, it just goes to show, Rodney and I, when we were reading this, we said it just goes to show when you tell one lie, look at all the lies that were told down through here.
You got to.
And I said, Rodney, you see these lies? One lie was told, then another lie was told, then another lie was told.
To cover up that one,
cover up that one? Yes.
Yeah. What's that old saying? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. It gets mighty tangled up.
Yeah, and you tell one lie, then you got to start remembering everything you said.
You got to remember it.
You got to remember everything you said.
Glory to God. No wonder it says the way of the transgressor is hard.
I know it. Yeah.
You got to either carry a notebook around with you or have a great memory.
That's exactly right.
Well, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. By the way, I mentioned to you that I'd seen on some kind of map a city of Nahor, when it said that Jacob went up to the city of Nahor. I've actually seen a map with that on it. But I don't believe that's accurate. Because look at what up in verse 43, chapter 27 says. Rebekah says, Go to Laban, my brother, to Haran. So that's where Laban lived. So until I see another map that says something different, that's what we'll go with. Verse 3, And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob. You notice people just didn't walk out. Abraham's servant in Haran with Laban. The angels with anybody. Abraham's servant up in Haran said, Send me away. And he didn't leave until they sent him away. They're very polite to people that took them into their homes. Jacob just didn't take off and leave. His father had to give him his blessing to go. So he came to Padan Aram in verse 5 and to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, who was very happy to see him, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. Now when Esau realized that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him, he gave him a commandment saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone to Padan Aram. Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael. You know, some people just can never get it right. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They realize finally they made a big mess of things, so they go and make another one. It's just the mercy of God when you do a right thing. If you don't have the kind of mind that just continually makes wrong choices. He took a wife there from Ishmael's family, descendants. Verse 10, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and all thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but Beth-El. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Beth-El, house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And when Jacob is dying, he still refers to this place as Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. That's generally speaking the people of Mesopotamia.
John?
Yeah.
Who did Jacob pay his tithes to?
Have no idea.
Okay,
I doubt Melchizedek is still alive. Might be, but he'd be ancient. Well, he'd be very old. We don't know anything about that. Abraham, Isaac, who did Isaac carry his tithes to? Don't know.
He doesn't really pay him, but he comes back to it.
Well, that's what he's promised to do after he came back. But after he comes back, who's he going to give them to? Just don't know. There's a whole lot more going on than what's in the Bible here. There always is. We have to remember that along the way, and it's good to ask questions like that. Yes?
Do you think that Jacob and Esau about the, what had been, the prophecy?
Do I think Jacob and Esau knew that the elder should serve the younger?
Yeah.
My guess is there would be some rumors about that floating around. Yeah, so they, yeah, I would think they would. Wouldn't you, Jimmy?
It's been hard for Rebecca to keep a secret like that all the
time. Yeah, it would. Her servants, her handmaids would have known about it for sure. And the servants were the grapevine. You know, messages. When King Saul, we see when King Saul and David are, or when King Saul's chasing David, they always have information about each other's camp. Well, David didn't go over there and ask Saul what he was up to. There's always something going on with servants or spies. The servants are main news media of the ancient world. Chapter 29. He meets Rachel, who he finds out is Laban's daughter. And he, in verse 11, Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. He met her at a well. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman. That's what the word brother means there. And that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him home and frisked. I mean, no, he didn't frisk him. I get going. I know what he's thinking. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said to Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed. She was kind of plain-looking. Rachel was beautiful. And well-favored means her body was shaped in a very attractive way. Joseph was well-favored. He was a handsome, well-built young man. beautiful and well favored. Solomon in Proverbs says, beauty is deceitful and favor is vain. Something like that. You know why? Just like the guy told me one time. He said, I used to have the body of a Greek god. Now I have the body of a Greek. It just, over age, it just kind of goes that way. It's vain. It passes away.
I wonder if when Laban, when Jacob told him that about having to give him a blessing, when he had 20 up there, I could just see him working already on how to keep him there, because I think he knew enough to know what that blessing was going to mean.
Well, there's
Isaac and Abraham.
He had seen what the blessing meant. Laban, I don't know if Jacob would have told him the whole truth, but he would have had to tell him something why he was there. And if Laban caught wind of the fact that Jacob was a little bit afraid to go home, he was seeing free labor here, or at least cheap labor. And since, well, we'll just see how the story progresses. Verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Let's shake on it. Deal. Good buddy. Abide with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love that he had to her. And at the end of 7 years, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban said, all right, isn't this exciting? I am so happy for you. We're going to have a wedding feast. And I'm going to make sure you get good and drunk. This is nighttime. Women wore veils then. You remember Dot last week said the reason they wore veils is so you wouldn't know what you were getting until it was too late. She knew what she was talking about.
Yep.
Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And oh, he was so happy, and Jacob was happy and excited. And it came to pass in the evening, this is after dark, that Laban took Leah, his daughter, and brought her into the tent to him. And he went in unto her, and he was happy with wine, and it was dark, and she had on a veil, and it was dark, and, well, Laban also added it to his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid. And it came to pass in verse 25 that in the morning he rode over to say, good morning, Rachel, and he saw Leah. And you know what he learned? He learned what it felt like to have the wrong person in the tent. The way his father found out the wrong person had been in the tent. Isn't God beautiful?
Yep.
You can't beat God. You see, what's happening here is what God does with every one of his children. If he sees something in you he doesn't like, he'll put you somewhere along the way with somebody that's 10 times worse, until you get to hate it the way God does. If you're sneaky, he's got somebody 10 times better at it than you are. Jacob was a rank amateur next to Laban. God was going to get the Laban out of Jacob. He had to, for Jacob to be able to bear the blessing of Abraham. The spirit of Laban was not going to be allowed to carry on the blessing of Abraham. So when he rolled over that morning, he was looking God in the face. In the face of Leah. He thought he'd been mistreated. No, he'd just been treated. That's all.
Amen.
Treated by God. For a disease that would have destroyed his soul. And he jumped up out of bed and ran to Laban and said, what is this you've done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, oh, didn't I tell you? Oh, I knew I forgot something. That is our custom up here. We can't marry off the younger. Have I never said that to you before, Jacob? I'm so sorry. Tell you what. Just because I love you so much, I'll give you Rachel too. All you got to do is work another 7 years. Let's shake on it. But he did concede this, that after Jacob had done the obligatory weeks living with Leah, that he could have Rachel at the beginning of the 7 years. He didn't have to wait till the end. Verse 27, fulfill Leah's week, and we will give thee this also, for the service which thou shalt serve me yet another 7 years. What could he say? What could he say? No, and take Leah and leave? Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet other 7 years. And that was no fun working for Laban, because he didn't pay him one goat. His wages were his wives. Laban didn't add anything to that. That's why he ended up having to work another 6 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, it doesn't mean that he hated her guts like people talk now. It means that he preferred Rachel. Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, you're not worthy of me. He didn't want you hating your parents. He wants you to choose him over them. Just prefer God instead of them. And sometimes the Bible uses the word hate like that. The Lord saw that Leah was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived, and she bare a son. Her firstborn son was Reuben. The second one in verse 33 is Simeon. The third one is Levi, and the fourth one is Judah. You have to know those four in order. I don't care about doing a lot of memorizing, but you'll get to know them anyway, but you have to know them. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. So, Leanne, who was Leah's firstborn son?
Well, her was Leanne. Leah's firstborn son.
And when the Lord saw Leanne was hated, he... Reuben? And then who?
Simeon, Levi, and Judah.
All right. You're on your way there. Chapter 30, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me some children or I'm going to die. And Jacob went out and looked under every turnip patch he could find, every cabbage. What'd she think? And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, well, then she did what Sarah did. Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees. In other words, I'll take the child as soon as he's born, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me. And the word Dan means judge. And Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son, named Naphtali. So there's Dan and Naphtali. Now he has six sons. And Leah saw, this gave Leah an idea. If Bilhah can do it, Zilpah can do it. She took Zilpah to Jacob, and Zilpah had two sons, Gad and Asher. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Now he has eight sons. Zilpah, Leah's maid, had a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. Wait a minute. I skipped something, didn't I? No, I didn't. That's Asher, Gad and Asher. Reuben, her firstborn son, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said unto Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And they made a deal. that Leah could rent Jacob for, I tell you, this guy is not in control of things. Anyway, verse 18, Leah ends up having another son, Issachar, and in verse 20, Zebulun. That makes 10 sons, and one daughter is born in the next verse, 21, named Dinah. 10 sons and a daughter. You want to name the rest of them? Go right ahead.
Joseph and Benjamin.
Joseph and Benjamin. Good girl. Don't get ahead of me, kid. Okay. Finally, Rachel had a son and named him Joseph. And it came to pass when Rachel, verse 25, Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own country, into my own place, to my own country. Give me my wives and my children. See, now he knows he's talking to a deceiver, but he's still asking permission to leave because he is his guest. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, now, of course, Jacob brought some animals with him and some money. So he had something to start out with, and the animals reproduced. Laban might have taken a few of them when he could, but he survived. And Laban said to him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have not figured out how to steal everything you've got yet. You know that's what he's thinking. Oh, this is a surprise. Give me a few more months.
More than you thought.
Yeah. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, I will give it. And Jacob said to him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. I know what kind of man you are. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today. This is what will be my hire for the next years that I'll work. I'll pass through all of your flocks today, removing thence all the no good stuff, the ugly stuff, speckled, spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. That'll be my hire. And so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So that you, I'm not going to go out there and just take one out of every hundred, because then we might get it mixed up. I'll take all the ugly ones, the ones that you can see afar off and know what they are. I'll take them. Laban said, okay, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Now, you don't get this from reading it until you later. Laban said, okay, buddy, good, that's it. Go right ahead. Make yourself at home. I got some business to do in the back. And he ran out the back door, told his servants to take out every spotted, every speckled, every brown, every no good one, and send them off to his sons before Jacob got out there. So when Jacob walks out there to pick out the speckled and the spotted and the brown, he sees nothing but white, beautiful flocks. He's got nothing to start with. Laban's done it again. And he didn't stay around to see what Jacob's reaction would be. After he did it, the next verse says he removed himself 3 days' journey from Jacob. So he starts with nothing. But he has been beaten down by God to where he finally gives in. It took him 14 years of serving Laban, and the details of how he served him we'll read, took 14 years of being a slave to an unjust man, and Jacob finally surrenders and allows God to operate on him and puts his whole life in God's hands. God's done what he intended to do. Now he's going to trust God to provide him his wages. Instead of trying to steal and deceive and figure out a way to get around to what's right. God put an idea in Jacob's mind and taught, and this is from God, to peel some, what was it, rods, wooden rods, and put those peeled rods in front of the strongest animals when they came to feed and mate. God did not need Jacob to have peeled rods in order for God to provide Jacob his hire. It wasn't to help God out. It was a demonstration of Jacob's faith in God rather than faith in himself and his own cleverness to get what he wanted, get what was rightfully his. He stopped standing up for his rights and started kneeling for his help. So every time the strong ones came to feed, that's what he did. Verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ringstrake, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ringstrake and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not under Laban's cattle. Wouldn't let them intermingle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler stayed white, or whatever color the animal ought to be, were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's, and the man increased exceedingly, because now his faith is in God, not himself. And had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Now Laban's seeing all this. He's seeing Jacob get the good stuff and his cattle getting feebler. What's he going to do? How's he going to feel? Well, first of all, Laban thinks everything's his to start with. The women, the children, the cattle. He doesn't see it as being Jacob's. It's all his in his mind. And Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. Well, Jacob hadn't taken anything. God had given it to him. Jacob couldn't decide which animal would bear what kind of offspring. He had no control over that, and those sticks didn't have any control over it. But when he obeyed God, rather than trusting himself, God made it happen. And of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. That's when God shows up. And the Lord said to Jacob, return into the land of thy fathers. He always shows up when his servants need him. Now, of course, Jacob has a problem with this, because his mother has not sent for him yet. And she said she'd send for him as soon as Esau decided not to kill him anymore. But now God, the one he's trusting, the way Abraham trusted him, tells him to go back. And he's ready. 20 years with Laban's enough. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock. And he said, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Now look, this is what happened. If the rods made the animals have spotted offspring, which were supposed to be Jacob's, Laban would come and say, Jacob, how about you take the striped ones and I take the spotted ones? Well, trusting God, not himself. Okay. Well, then God would take the stronger cattle, let them be striped instead of spotted, and Laban would say, come to Jacob and say, you know, Jacob, I've always liked striped animals since I was 5 years old. Why don't I take the striped ones and you take the speckled ones? Okay? Well, then when the stronger cattle came, Speckity children came out of that, and Laban said, you know, my mama loves specks. It just touches me. 10 times. And in those 10 times, Jacob learned to turn it loose and not be like Satan and grasp after what he wanted, but to put it in God's hand and let it come to him. And because he did that, he increased mightily, and Laban continued to dwindle in the quality of his herds. That's in verse 8 in summary. Verse 9, this is the truth of the matter. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So they're mine. And it came to pass at that time that the cattle conceived, and I lifted up. He tells about the dream where God told him what to do. And God spoke to him in verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. He was ready now to have the promise of Abraham in the land of promise. Verse 14, Rachel and Leah answered and said, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him as strangers? He plunders us when he can. For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels and carried away all his cattle, all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. There are idols everywhere. There are idols among Jacob's servants, Laban's servants. That's just the whole world. Everywhere. When Israel was walking across the desert, they had some idols hidden there out in there. Everybody believed that. And you know, everybody, you know you get saved first. Everybody knows that. You got to have them idols, buddy. Jacob stole away unawares to Laban. He did not ask permission to leave this time. And that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and crossed over the river. And any time you come across something like that, you might be suspicious that it's the Euphrates. And that's what it is. And set his face toward the Mount Gilead. So he's coming down south to this area right here. This larger river to the east of the Jordan, flowing into the Jordan, that's the Jabbok. And he'll be crossing the river here. But he's coming down toward the King's Highway from the north. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him for a whole week. And they finally overtook him in Gilead. And the night before he caught up with Jacob and executed whatever plan he had cooked up, Jacob's near kinsman visited Laban's tent. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. It frightened Laban enough to where he was not going to hurt Jacob now. It was a real enough experience to where he knew he better not touch Jacob. But he kept pursuing him. And Laban overtook Jacob. And Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me that I wanted to throw you a going away party? Well, Jacob knew what happened the last time Laban threw him a party. That's question number one. You didn't allow, verse 28, you didn't allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done foolishly in so doing. Does that mean he'd done foolishly?
No.
It just means Laban said so. That's all that means. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesternight, saying, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, okay, though you would its needs be gone, because you sore, you just want to get home to your mom and daddy. You sore longest after your father's house. Why'd you steal my gods? Well, Jacob answers the first question first. First of all, I left because I was afraid, in verse 31. For I said, peradventure, you would take by force your daughters from me. That was true. That's what Laban would have done somehow, and his children, and his cattle. Second of all, as far as your gods go, with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Now, with a man carrying Abraham's blessing and the birthright of Isaac, to utter such a curse as that carries some weight. So he just cursed Rachel to die. Didn't know it. Now she's going to be dead pretty quick. Before our brethren now, you got your men here, I've got my servants, my family, before everybody here now, you look around, discern thou what is thine with me and take it. Jacob didn't know Rachel had stolen the gods. And Laban did a very extremely rude thing. He went into Jacob's tent, went through his dresser drawers. They didn't have dressers then. Went through his luggage, went through his tent, his personal belongings, into Leah's tent, into the two maidservants' tents. Didn't find the gods. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent. All of her tent, didn't find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before thee. I feel so faint. The custom of women is upon me. That's Laban. That's deceit. That's a lie. And God's going to cause her to die quick because of that. He is not going to have that spirit of Laban back in Hebron and Beersheba. Not in Abraham's tent. Jacob had to become a new man. Rachel's got to die. She was a thief and a liar. Can't have it. It's not coming back with Jacob into Canaan's land. And he searched but found not the images. And then Jacob was angry. By this time he saw Laban just trampling all over his furniture and his tents, falsely accusing him of stealing his gods. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my sin? What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued after me? Now you've searched all my stuff. What have you found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. Laban just stood there because he had nothing to say. Had nothing to show. And then Jacob tells us for the first time what life with Laban was like as his slave, as a hired laborer, but he worked like a slave. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goat have not cast their young. God blessed your cattle and flocks to have healthy babies. No stillbirths. And the rams of your flock I have not eaten. Now, I would imagine, I think I've read this somewhere, but I would imagine this would be the case anyway. If I had big herds and big flocks and you were out there by day and by night taking care of them, you could kill one to eat it, you and your servants that were helping you. That seems to me pretty reasonable. Not Laban. You're serving me for a wife, not food. You eat your own flocks. That which was torn of the beast, if an animal got it by night, I didn't bring you. That, now, this is the case. If I was taking care of your sheep and a lion or wolf got one of your sheep, I was not required to pay. All I had to do was bring back a piece of an ear, a piece of a leg, something to you to show you that it had been taken by an animal. It's just normal things back then for animals to take a sheep every once in a while, or goat. Not Laban. If it disappeared out of his flock, Jacob paid full price for that missing animal, whether the animal got it by day or by night. Does it make any difference?